All right, here we go. Welcome to Breaking the Panel, where we talk about all your awesome sauce and not so much awesome sauce that happens in the week. This is the post-Dragon Con edition, as we all have returned back from the con. Under I got a podcasting Charles McFall and 100% peak health riding this tonight. And let's go by order of what looks to be wellness. Ready to go back to work is Phil Keating. Awesome. he's just smirking at me, you jackhole. The man who could probably use a few more days off, Chris Wisdom.
Oh, I could always use more days off. And then I gotta rolling straight at some stuff.
Hi, Charles. It's great to be here. How are you?
Nah, delay. Fuck you. And you know what? I think I misjudged that. I think Paulie actually looks a little bit better health-wise than Chris, but I think he was having some of the con crud before he left. Paul Klotz.
I'm not sick. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Like, is this like a bit that you do? I'm not sick.
No, I'm literally not sick.
I'm not dead.
I rode in the plague van, too, so like it's shocking that I'm not sick. I don't know. I'm fine. I'm a little tired, but that's about it.
So the man who can lick MARTA rails and eat dirt for a year is the one that got run down out of the four of us?
What do you mean got run down?
Look at you. You know what I mean by run down.
I had more than a half hour drive home, Charles. Screw you.
you look like shit.
I always look like shit.
You didn't lick any rails this time, did you?
No, because I didn't say it was Charles. I didn't get none of that MARTA.
No more MARTA for me.
I thought about just hopping on the bus for a little bit, but I wasn't sure that got enough.
I mean, you could have done an escalator in front of everyone, too.
Oh, my God. I wonder if you would have been reported and hauled out of the con if people saw
100%.
Oh, my Lord Jesus. So, we are back from Dragon Con, and that's pretty much all we're going to talk about tonight. So, does anybody have anything they want to lead off with? I love that the background is the Marriott there for you, Chris. Did you take that picture? Or did you find that somewhere?
No, I just found that online.
Yeah. It's good.
First things first, throw a little love out to everybody suffering from the crud. In particular, Scott Moore, he went to urgent care today.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
He's got a full respiratory infection, so we wish him a speedy recovery, as well as anybody else who's suffering. It seemed particularly rough this year for some people, so.
Emily said she took all of yesterday off.
Some people get it, some people don't. I live on airborne. I'm just going to free plug their ass right now. Is ever since I started working around human beings, or had little human beings, I've had to keep airborne during the sick times and cons. And I ate 4 in the morning, 4 in the night every fucking day that I was there. And I'm other than being a little tired, as we all will be from working our asses off for 5 days, fine. It's good.
Now, look, I took my con crud advice from somebody who goes to cons all over the world in Shannon, because she goes to cons every goddamn weekend. Like, she is a professional at this, but what works for her doesn't work for me, right?
Sure.
So you got to take in information where you can get it. It's kind of like parenting, where you got to take in as much as you can and then make your own decisions. She was a big airborne person, like you, Charles. And yep. And once we got to Darth Plagueis's house on the in Conyers, I said, you know what? I got multiple people around me. I've been really good at washing my hands. Really good at it. I'm going to need some vitamin C from you real quick, girl, because I don't feel safe right now. And I had no problems at all. And even when today I thought I was out of the woods, I got a call from Dennis or a text. You got to come pick your stuff up from my house that was in the bus. You got to come and get all your plague stuff. I was like, you know what? Someone's watching me, because I am untouchable right now. So I went down there. Everything I touched, I had hand sanitizer in the car. And when I got home, I did a little chlorine, Clorox wipe down of everything, from my guitar to bag handles to everything, and threw everything right into the washing machine.
To be fair, you're even lucky that guitar made it home.
Oh boy.
There was a cast member of Botched who was sitting in the back with the luggage who was not pleased with your slippy slidey guitar.
Oh, Austin. Boo-hoo.
He managed to wedge it after a little while, so it stopped like slapping him in the face every time we took a turn, but
that's an Austin problem, not me. Is that why my tuner went missing? Out the window, he said.
Well, he literally said at one point, he's like, well, if I snap a string or something, get fucked. So,
yeah, team, you know, team player, Austin.
Yep, absolutely.
That's, well, you know, everybody's cranky after Dragon Con, you know?
It's just, I think it's he was cranky thing. Before he got to Dragon Con. But that's another thing.
Well, you got to quit throwing guitars in his face and maybe he'll cheer up.
He doesn't listen.
I don't, I'm just saying. Dude, I posted the proud dad moment from the barbecue where my, what is he's now seven, I guess. He's 7 years old. He was trying to be a bartender, and I told him, well, Austin over there is a real bartender. Go ask him for all night that dude was getting tips, like learning how to do the job and improving his skills. And he got like $7 in actual tips and change in dollars.
Oh, your son?
Yeah.
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 You stole my wallet.
You left it, Cody Fingers.
I got to say, hanging out at your house every Monday after Dragon Con is always a treat because I love hanging out with your kids. Ryland just has some of the most interesting thoughts of any human being I've ever interacted with, and they're fully developed thoughts. It's not like he's just like putting out little lumps of stuff that you string together and you think it's funny. No, he really has thought about what he's about to tell you, except it is weird.
Oh yeah, yeah,
really weird.
What if, I think he said this to John even, what if I could just pull your beard off and throw it in the fire? Would that be funny? And John's like, I think that would hurt.
And he was talking smack on your oldest there, and to his credit, your oldest is just like, yeah, no,
yeah.
He's very patient with him, very good with him, but your kids are the best. They're so fun to play with.
I like
even
them.
When Shannon Tucker asks them point blank awkward questions in front of their own father.
Yeah. You know, I allowed it though. I allowed it to see what he would say. He didn't shy away from it.
I guess I missed that.
Oh, yeah, you were gone. You were gone at that point.
How old is Oak?
14.
14.
Technically 14 and a half.
I can guess what she asked, but
she asked for numbers.
Well, it was relevant. It was relevant to a conversation we were having at the time. So.
Yeah, I think it was something. 45-year-old woman asked this 14-year-old boy.
45? That's awesome, man. So let's bring it back to the con. We'll bring it back to the barbecue letter. Setup actually went really well. I got thrown off, which was a good thing. But I got thrown off because my plan was to get in there Wednesday afternoon, do the physical setup and the wiring, a couple hours. And then Thursday, be more leisurely about, okay, we're tuning, we're fine-tuning, we're training. No rush, because the last couple of years it's been rush. Rush to get it done. Rush, you know, hurry and stress. And then the day before, so it's Tuesday, I thought, maybe I should message the senior directors just to make sure everything's copacetic. And they went, nope, you can't do that because there's no security. But I ended up spending, about 4 or 5 hours, Phil, with you. We got in the van and went and picked up gear and – went up to the Botched house for a while.
Yeah, it was actually fun because Chuck picked me up from the airport and we just got to roll around for a good 3 to 4 hours, you know, recording but not recording an unofficial podcast and having good conversations as we pick up heavy gear that for a moment, shoot, I thought I was going to throw my back out.
I thought you were going to die the way you did that, man.
Yeah, no, it was a poor way to lift something. And, you know, it was a very heavy case of equipment that I put my entire back into. But we got it up into the van and all was well. But I had a lot of fun just rolling around with you, Charles.
As long as you didn't hurt your legs, because you had a lot of walking to do.
That's right.
Yeah. Speaking of legs, Paul, you had crutches like 4 weeks ago, and you actually healed up enough to where you did fairly okay during the con.
Yeah, so I had a nasty knee and ankle sprain for the month and a half or so leading up to the con, and I brought my knee back. Oh, man. I almost forgot about this. So I flew down to Atlanta on Tuesday to get an extra day to hang out with Nicole because she was flying in that day. And I was wearing my knee brace under jeans, and I went through security, and they're like, oh, make sure you empty your pockets and everything. I'm like, all right, well, just so you know, I have a knee brace on, but it doesn't have any metal in it. It's all plastic and cloth. And they're like, oh, well, you're going to need to take that off. And I'm like, all right. And I'm like, so the problem is I can't take it off now because I have pants on. Because I couldn't get it, you know what I mean? Like, it was so tight that I couldn't get it down my leg or anything. So I had to go into a side room and show two nice TSA gentlemen what my underoos look like and take my knee brace off. And then they just look at all my stuff, and you could tell they're just like, did we really have to see this dude's junk just to confirm that a leg brace is a leg brace? But yeah, no, so my leg was mostly healed going into the weekend, but I'll tell you, standing around downtown Atlanta in the heat and the humidity and the why can we talk for a second about the city planning of Atlanta?
No.
Why the fuck is that city rolling hills? Like, why, who builds it? Who goes, look at all these dumb fucking hills, let's build a city here where every block is like, let me go sharply down. It's like San Francisco of the East.
So you just referenced an older city that fucking built on hills.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, San Francisco was built there because I don't know.
I don't know.
Gold in them there hills. I don't know, but Atlanta's bullshit.
did you just say San Francisco was the older city?
I don't know that it, no, it can't be. Charles. There's no way it can't be. Yeah, Charles did.
I'm busy planning next year's Dragon Con, Chris. Don't bother me right now. I'm fucking working on next year's panel.
Holy shit. Charles, you done fucked up. That doesn't even make logical sense.
I'm not even paying attention to what you're talking about. I don't understand what you're saying right now.
Anyways, so getting my badge on Thursday. Getting my badge on Thursday was relatively easy, but getting Nicole's was quite a endeavor because the line was all the way around the Sheraton. So basically loop the entire block and stand outside for an hour or so. And because it was up and downhill and you're standing on inclines, it completely trashed my knee again to the point where it was like swelling up and shit. So I dealt with that for the next few days. I could get around. It wasn't like it was 3 years ago when I was like barely able to move and just dragging my dead leg everywhere. But
yeah,
you know, it's, I'll say this. If you have like issues like that, you know, if you use a cane, bring your cane, bring any braces you might, cause I packed my braces just in case. I didn't know how bad it would be. And lo and behold, I ended up using my knee brace a fair bit. Pack good footwear. If you plan on doing anything, particularly on Saturday, if you plan on going anywhere or doing anything, you need to be prepared to stand someplace for a long time. So in years past, I had seen that to get into the gaming area wasn't too bad, tabletop gaming.
Right.
But
right.
To get into the vendors mart was insane. And I knew the tabletop area would have a couple of magic vendors because they were running magic events there. So they usually always have their buy station there. And I needed to liquidate some magic cards for some, you know, pocket money. For the last couple days, and it's something that I pretty much had to do because the lift rides were bleeding us dry.
Yeah.
You know, back and forth. It's our room was fantastic. It was this nice little like hostel type situation on the west side of town. It was
you mean
really
hostile or hostel?
Well, if you wander a block up, it got a little bit sketchy. Yeah, so, you know, we were spending a lot on lift rides and everything. And, you know, so I needed to definitely come up with some cash to cover the last couple of days. And we had to kind of wander the block a little while to get in and stand in some crowds and stuff. And unfortunately, Nicole, yeah, that's not her jam. So that was a big mistake that we will not make again next year. Like, if I have to do that, I'll go by myself. I'll leave her with somebody else, you know, to hang out. And it's a lot. Like, I was kind of talking to her about it. Like, she's not used to crowds like that. They don't get crowds like that at home very often. I mean, do we even? Like, do you go very many places where you get, like, literally 40,000 people standing on the streets at the same time?
No, not typically.
Yeah, it feels like, yeah, every day.
Every
farmers,
Sunday.
Farmers markets. Farmers market,
yeah. Every Sunday at the Baltimore Farmers Market. Yeah. It's the fifth biggest in the U.S., but I also don't suffer from crowd anxiety.
Yeah.
And I know people who do, and I know how it's awful to even think about for people with crowd anxiety, let alone someone who has to walk in it.
Yeah, we chilled out because this was right before the Nintendo panel that we did on Saturday, and which went very well. We can talk about that in a second. But we hung out upstairs in the Westin. We found a little corner that nobody was in, and we chilled for a bit. And it took her a long time to calm down, and I felt awful. Like, I felt like I really fucked up, you know? I put somebody I care about in a situation that they weren't prepared for. And so that's another word of caution I'll throw out there. If you have an issue with crowds, don't go out on Saturday. Like, as a matter of fact, we're thinking we're going to just hang out at the track next year on Saturday. And if we do anything, we leave, you know what I mean? For the day. So Saturday is a tough time. Friday and Sunday aren't so bad with the crowds, you know, they're there, but they're not. I mean, yeah, I saw Maria standing in line for Brandon Sanderson, but I didn't know what line it was. I was like, what line are you in? Cause it was like 3,000 people circling one of the hotels. And I thought it was actually to get into the vendor hall. I thought it had looped down a block and up a block. Right. It was that bad. And she's like, no, Brandon Sanderson. I'm like, for a goddamn fantasy author? What the you fucking nerds? which my roommate Sean stood in that line, except he didn't make the cut.
Oh,
that's they usually have an end of line thing, so that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, he stood in line. They let everybody in. He ended up being a couple dozen people short of getting in. So, well, that's okay. So that's another thing. Dragon Con sucks at managing their lines, dude.
Yeah, they were a little bit better this year.
It depends on where you are. Bit. It literally depends on which room you're trying to get into.
Probably,
and that's true as well, but. Something they introduced this year is anybody who has a volunteer, guest, or pro pass got into the vendor hall immediately.
That was new. Yeah, that was
I did
new.
Not know about
yep.
that. Dennis mentioned that after the fact, and I was like, what the
And yeah, fuck you. And there's a little bit of wiggle room with who's working the door at that point where you could say, hey, I'm a professional here. My buddy is not. Can we both go through? You know, it always depends on who's working the door, because I had it work twice where they were like, yeah, no, unfortunately it doesn't work, which I'm like, hey, all cool. I can go stand in line. And the other time was like, yeah, both of you come right in. You know, it's just right person, right time. But then also, Paul, on your point, I was standing in line for a steam powered giraffe on the streets and nobody was working the street line.
Mm-hmm.
And it, from the grace of God, our friend Maria was watching the line in front of us because I wasn't. And we were the first in line around the corner. So if Maria didn't say, hey, the line's going, I would have fucked over the 500 people behind us.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really all about who's there at the right time volunteering perfectly.
I will say I think they handled the getting the ticket line much better this year. They had somebody on every corner coming into the Sheraton saying blue line this way. You know, they started, even when the line was empty, they started you going around the building to the other door. And that kept, because before trying to get my director stuff from in there, because it's in the Sheraton as well, for people paying cash, for people doing a text thing is a different line. And all that would funnel into one space, and I'd have to tell people, just get out of the way. I'm not cutting your line. I'm a director. I got to get my shit and keep going building stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And this year it didn't happen that way, so that was good.
That's the line that we stood in. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was going to say, I almost wish that I just had the attendee badge, right? So I wish that getting into the hotel, from the door to the hotel out to the sidewalk, they had rope lines or something to stop, because it's ridiculous how many people just cut the line. They're just like, oh, yeah, the 75,000 people behind me are all fucking assholes. I'm more important. I just like, I was getting ready to start throat chopping people because I had a group of five that cut in right behind me.
They said, no, like, get out of line.
Motherfucker.
I watched this dude pull the slickest move, right? So he walks up to the line right in front of us, and he walks up towards one guy like he knows him.
Yeah.
Right? So like he's just coming back to the line or something, and then he immediately snap turns when he gets to the guy and looks at his phone, does a little hokey pokey, and then just slides it in the line. And I'm like, I see. I watch this all go down. I'm like, this motherfucker just skipped. And I'm like, I'm not even, you know what? I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. He just rolled deception on 300 people. There were 300 people who could see him, and not a single one of them rolled a high enough perception check to see it happen. I'm like, no, you're good, dude. I ain't no snitch.
But also, like, I watched that line deteriorate, right, on that steam-powered giraffe, because it got lost in the crowd.
Yeah.
So I kind of know now that, like, hey, if I'm waiting for something big like this, once that disconnect happens, I can just scoop myself right in there, and nobody would be the wiser.
Yeah. I to what you said, though, Charles, the Sheridan, they did watch the corners to keep the line flowing. Though I did hear they had an issue with disability services, because there was somebody in a wheelchair right in front of us, which was...
I don't know, maybe.
The person in the wheelchair wasn't the problem. The kid that was pushing her wheelchair and the group that was with her, they were doing this thing where they just took up the entire sidewalk so, like, nobody could move around them.
Come on, man. You can't do that.
It's one of those things where it's like, I really wish that disability... Because somebody behind us was like... Somebody told them, you should go to disability services. They'll get you right in. And he's like, I just came from there, and it's faster for me to go through the normal line because they're backed up so far.
Yeah. And I guess it's a good thing that everybody can be represented at the con, but there's a lot of people who need disability services. It's hard to, you know, you can guess with 80,000 people, 60,000 people are going to show up and get a blue card ticket. You know, that's easy to estimate. It's not as easy to estimate how many people are going to be in wheelchairs or with guide dogs or, you know, whatever else. Yeah. I don't know. I got to say, I love hearing the thing about the pro badge that you could just, if you had pro or guest, you could walk up and just cut the line. Because I thought if Borderlands had brought the Museum of Mayhem with them, I was going to try to cut over and cross my fingers, do the director thing. Like, look, I just need 5 seconds in there because I got to get back to my track. But they didn't bring it. But I did pull the director card one time. And I never have to. I don't usually need to. But I happened to notice stuff going on in the anime track. And it looked kind of cool. And I saw the line was full and the room was full. And it's a double door. And I walk up to the door and the guy's like, the line's over here. It's like, is this a worker? So I get it. I'm just looking. Yeah, but the line's really full. I went, flip my bad, it's a battery. Flipped around. I was like, I get it. I'm just looking. He goes, oh, sorry. He backed off. I'm like, no, technically, I can walk in any fucking room I want to, asshole, but I'm just looking. Listen to the words coming out of my mouth. As you're doing something cool. I just want to see what you do, and that's all. I'm not going to cut. I'm not going to get murdered at Dragon Con.
I tried so hard with that Borderlands line. I tried because they did have a big line when I was in the vendor hall.
You had pro on your badge.
Huh?
You had pro on your badge, right?
Well, of course. Yes, I do. And I tried to work that angle so much where I was like, hey, guys, look, I want to do this, but I don't have time right now. I was wondering if I can just get a mask and a badge from you guys because, you know, and I hold up my badge that says professional. I said, I got to get to the video game track because I got a panel right now and I would love to do this. And they're like, nah, we don't normally do it. And I kind of gave a flinch for a second. And they're like, you know, you could always come back later. And I'm just like, I showed my hint of weakness inside my eye where it gave them the opportunity to say, no, go fuck yourself.
Well, at least I didn't grab your badge and look at the back and be like, yeah, fuck you.
I had a video game panel. Just not at that time where I said I did.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's volunteers, right? So some crews have the same people over and over again. I think I've changed out 2 or 3 people just about every year since I took over. And we have a small team. Somebody like Tech Ops has 250 people in their team. You know, so it's Shannon told me a story of she worked for the video game track as a volunteer, and she was a people handler, as she does for a living. And they were going out to invite VIPs to this VIP party, and VIPs being the celebrities in the Walk of Fame. Apparently, two of them actually showed up at the door, and because it's so misorganized, they didn't have like a written list of names. The volunteer at the door had no idea who they were and turned them away. And like, do you not, as a human being, going, hold on, let me check with somebody real quick. No, they're just like, no, man, you can't be here. It's like, what? I guess I wasn't there, but so it's It's give or take, and not all the, you know, well, Austin had an issue the first year with some people, cosplayers, bullying him about not being in cosplay. You know, not everybody gets the full meaning of Dragon Con, and that goes from the attendees all the way up to the senior staff sometimes.
See, that's so wild, because that is the one thing I have never experienced at Dragon Con. Is any, I've never seen anybody being uncool to anybody else. Even when stuff's crappy, when somebody's being a douche, like in a line or something, I've seen other people around them just try to like minimize their impact. You know what I mean? And yeah, just kind of like, yeah, you know, this dude's out of control or whatever, but like, let's just give him his space or whatever. Let him do his thing and look out for each other and just let him, you know what I mean? So, and to that effect, last year we saw somebody in the basement of the Hilton that was really messed up. Like, yeah, they were clearly like dangerously close to alcohol poisoning if they weren't already there, and nobody was with them, and they were just kind of like, they were slumping over in the corner or something, and a couple of people down there in the basement, they got, you know, they found hotel staff to get in contact with, you know, EMS, and they got somebody to go look at them, because it was somebody who was seriously in danger, you know. So people look out for each other for the most part, which is nice. But yeah, that's really a shame that Austin got like treated poorly. And that's the thing. Bill was saying when he did his first episode, when he got home, because he's a machine, Bill from Run Jump Stomp, yeah, he flew home Monday morning and did his show at his normal time in the afternoon. And he was talking a little bit about Dragon Con, and he's like, you know, he goes, there's a lot of times where you feel weird for being out of costume. You feel weird for being in normal clothing because everybody around you is in cosplay. But yeah, that's pretty wild to hear about.
You did mess up his name, though.
What?
Is Bill of Run Jump Stop now on the Giant Size Team Up Network.
Oh, boy, he hasn't signed any paperwork yet. Oh, no.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, that's what's holding it back. Sure. Yeah.
Can we talk about Bill real quick since we're already here?
Of course.
Yeah.
I've been telling everybody this. Bill was my favorite part of Dragon Con.
That was pretty awesome, man.
Bill, in comparison, was when Will Smith first gets to Beverly Hills in the intro to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with his camera looking all over the place. Every time I ran into Bill, which was surprisingly a lot on the streets of Atlanta because there's 80,000 people there, Bill was in the most wonderful goddamn mood I've ever seen anybody in, just experiencing this crazy mecca of what the fuckness, and it was so lightheartedness and beautiful. And then, you know, me, Chris, Bill, and Paul did that Nintendo panel together, and it might have been my favorite panel that I did through the entire con, because it worked out perfectly. Just the four of us up there having fun, the audience, you know, you could hear the oohs and the ahs, yeah, coming from the audience. And even when we opened up the mic to talk to the audience, everyone was just like, yeah, this is dope. Everyone's having a good time here. So it was really fun to experience the eyes of Dragon Con through somebody who was completely out of his element.
I think we all mentioned that, you know, as you scroll through your Twitter feed during the day, it's Bill, hey, this picture, hey, this picture. And there's one that's so great. Bill's there just smiling as big as he can. He's like, I don't even know who this is, but this is an awesome cosplay, you know. I love that reaction of just, this is the most magical place on earth. Fuck Disney, you know.
What I also enjoy is that Bill was at Botched, right?
Right.
And a joke missed the entire room except for Bill. So it kind of turned into something for me that, when the room wasn't getting it, as long as Bill was happy, I was happy that the show was still going on. So, God, Bill, I love you, and I'm glad you had such a wonderful time, and we'll see about next year.
Oh, yeah, you already mentioned the dates are a little off. It's still Labor Day weekend. Yeah. It's all in September, which might mean his job starts back earlier.
So. Yeah.
But, Chris, what was one of your favorite happy moments of Dragon Con?
Just meeting people. I mean, just the new people that I met, the guys from Adventure Inc., Emily Swan, which I'm hitting her up for some art. So that I've got some Avatar art. meeting Shannon, just so many people finally getting to put to, you know, get to meet Bill in person. You know, always getting to hang out with you guys again. It's our once a year to be together in the flesh. And I mean like that as it sounded, because Bill and I got pretty close. It just that's always my favorite part. The sights, the sounds, the scenes. It's just so much. All that other stuff. So probably Cybertronic Spree concert. That's probably my favorite thing that I did. That was my favorite. But and I just wish we had just been a few minutes early, because we came into like the last bars of Instruments of Destruction, and that's hands down my favorite song on the soundtrack album. But everything else.
They also goddamn started early.
Yeah, they did. They started 30 minutes early, right?
30 minutes early, and that sucks. But yeah. Chris, I'll agree. We as Botch had a Patreon barbecue on Thursday night, and I, you know, I'm putting out messages, and I don't know how many people are going to show up. And I extended out to the Giant Size Team Up family, and it turned into such a beautiful night. And I had so much fun with everybody who showed up, from Tony P. Henderson to the Adventure Incorporated people, who I, you know, have only had digital interaction with. You know, I have all these laughs and great moments through the internet, but now I got to finally meet these guys in person. And to all the patrons that came out, I just want to say thank you. And it was a hell of a weird night, and it couldn't go any better. You know, I had such high hopes for it, and it exceeded it to the fullest.
Damn. I wish I could have been there, man.
It was great. Like, there was one moment where Rob from Adventure Inc. was playing Where Is My Mind by the Pixies on guitar, but we were then adding in different lyrics from, like, Du Hast to... the theme song for once again, Fresh Prince in Bel-Air. Okay. And then I jumped on the piano and was misplaying the piano part. It was great. It was just a fun moment that you don't really get in your goddamn mid 30s at a house party.
Well, and that was the first experience I'd had with the Adventure Incorporated people. And so I feel bad, because they're great. The whole cast is great. They're fun people, but I had to hate them. Because they weren't my Botch people. So from the time I met them at the barbecue until post Blood Feud, I had to be against them, and it was awkward. I feel like there was wasted time and opportunity, but
yeah, you fucked up.
I did. I fucked up, but I not intentionally gave them the win on the Blood Feud.
That was a lot of fun.
And then as far as I was able to pick up some art pieces and stuff this year too. I got some stuff for the kids. And then this caught my eye as I was going through the vendor hall.
Oh, wow. Okay, for the podcast at home, go ahead and describe what you got.
Yeah, so this is by a company called Artovision. It's a shadow box. And what these guys do is they take artwork from video games. And sometimes it's just...
That's so cool.
It's scenes from video games. And so there's four panes of glass in this shadow box. And each pane of glass has a different layer painted on it. So this is an amazing piece.
Yeah,
they had several up there. Some
as Superman the video game from like Atari.
This one particular is the box art from Superman the video game for Atari 2600. But they had them from all different systems. Like I said, it wasn't just game art. There were scenes from video games all the way up to God. Did I see God, I know there was Mario 64 in there, but I know there were some more recent ones, and they had arcade stills and stuff in there too. It was amazing. All those pieces were amazing. Well worth it. So, like I said, I'm going to plug them again. Artovision, Artovision. Look them up and see what they got for you, because they're great. They're not that bad in price.
No. And everything they had up there could hit somebody on a different level. Like, they had the intro scene from Mario 64, where it's the, you know, the back looking at Mario as he's looking over Peach's castle, and it was completely layered from the trees to the bushes. And it almost took my money. Like, there was a couple up there, even from Link to the Past, you know, the overhead, you know, map board to it. Oh, man. I'm happy that you found something so much that spoke enough to you that it could take your wallet as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Superman is dumb, so you wasted your money.
Klaus, did you buy anything at the con?
The only merch I bought at the entire con were two Botched coasters, one for myself and one for Nicole. Everything else I spent was on either food or lift rides or whatever.
Did we charge you for those?
Yeah, no, I gave you. Yeah, I gave. I gave. Actually, you well, here's the
discount
thing.
Price, I think.
I gave the money to Bean. So, because Chris ran back into the room to try to figure out what stuff cost, and Bean was still standing there watching the stuff, and I'm like, "Well, you're a patron here, so he might have gotten a partial refund on his most recent month." But you know, to that effect, that was one of the coolest things about this year, because you guys invited patrons, and Bean is one of your patrons on Botch, but also he's somebody who is in pretty much every chat on Twitch that we have. He always shows up for Four Bromigos. He always shows up in various streams, and he's become like a cornerstone of our community in a way. He's somebody that we get excited to see every time, and it was so cool to meet him in real life and just like put a face to the dude. And actually, Kurt and I sat and talked with him for a little while about Bromigos and got some, like, you know, some of his opinion on like how things shake out sometimes and stuff, and some ways we can improve and stuff, which is really cool. Yeah, it's a unique opportunity. I mean, how often do you get to go meet some of your patrons or some a sister show's patrons that are also really supportive of your community? So, yeah, that was dope.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. I like that.
Didn't shuck a single bean, though. I was really
bullshit. It was so bullshit.
Sorry, Charles.
What I did this year special for the kickoff is I had an open seat for whoever was ready in the audience to come and take it. And, I mean, you're sitting out with some heavy hitters. You're Rob Greenlee, Tony P. Henderson, the McElroys. And there's some hesitation to people. There are certain people I told they couldn't do it because they were at the meeting before and they knew it was coming. I was like, no, that's – you know, I'm really trying to, and the people who came to the meeting before were already moderators and stuff that I'm like, no, I'm trying to highlight, see if somebody is willing to step up, opportunity and those kind of things. And there was hesitation. And then Anthony stands up and I had met him for like a hot second the day before. So the fact that I got an A name out was as close as I was going to get. It's like, oh, you're Andrew. And of course, he immediately corrects me, as you do. And I just lit into him for the whole weekend and didn't. I refused to call him by his actual name the whole entire weekend. To that point, his crew were not at the opening kickoff panel, so they had no idea why I kept calling him different A names, but they kept laughing anyway. So I thought maybe they think I was dropped in my head. I don't know what they thought was going on there. But yeah.
Anybody that's talked to you for 5 minutes thinks that at some point you were dropped on your head.
Tell me about, I want to hear more about the gaming track panel, the Nintendo panel. Cause I don't think there's not a recording of any kind of it. Is there?
No, there isn't.
I thought you might take your H2 with you and put it on the table.
Oh, well, I was told that you were going to meet me there with your
not
with
by
the cables. Oh, all right. No, there's no recording of it. We talked about that, but that's fine. You forget.
Only 68 fucking panels run. You got to remind me shit because that's not one of them.
You're good. You're good.
Excuses, not solutions.
Yeah. You know.
I don't hear solutions either, motherfuckers. Like showing up.
Be where you're supposed to be.
Like, I believe there were some clear instructions about, hey, if we're going to do a giant size team up panel, I'm handling a fuck ton of shit. You guys have to plan it. And I show up on it and everybody's like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. Okie dokie pokey.
We did.
And we did. We absolutely did.
I figured it out with the help of Tony P. Henderson.
It rocked. That panel rocked.
So, no, that's the thing. I mean, we get to the gaming track, and it's the four of us, right? And we're talking over some things, and we're like, all right, well, this is how we want it to go. I had 100% in Paul percent, knowing that Paul was going to be able to moderate this correctly because he's a better mod than I am. He is. I mean, there's nothing about
sure,
it.
Okay.
I know when I see strengths, and that's one of Paul's
strengths. I'm not sure if I've seen you mod, but I definitely know Paul can mod his ass off.
Oh, you haven't, because I personally believe that I'm not good at it. And I've seen Paul mod multiple times, and he does a wonderful job with it. And we're like, yeah, no, I know. It's resting right on my lips. That's how close I am. But, you know, as soon as the doors open and it just starts filling up, and it just keeps filling up, and it just keeps on filling up, you know, I think that's a...
Were you in the little or the big room, do you think? Because it's either a 300 or 500 room.
I think it was a 300
room. I think it's a 300 room.
Because I know they, the two rooms they own is a 300 and a 500. So, yeah. So, your minimum was 300 packed house. Plus,
yeah,
it wasn't packed out, but it was full. Like there were seats, but it wasn't like it was sparse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think we half filled it, if not a little bit more than half filled the room for it.
There was definitely over 100 people.
Oh yeah,
which is good. I mean, that's the thing, is like, I don't know that everybody realizes how good it is to if you get over 100 people that show up to watch a panel that has no big names on it, and I guarantee you, nobody in that room knew any of us, not even Bill. You know, there might have been one or two people who had even heard of Nintendo Switchcraft, let alone any of the rest of us. So, which is awesome for us, because that's a huge opportunity for us to interact with completely fresh ears and eyes, you know, and make an impact on them and bring them around to everybody's content. So that was cool. But continue, Philip.
Oh, well, no, I mean, I touched on a little bit where, you know, we did a little bit of a roundhouse discussion up front between the four of us. And it was fun, and we were talking about this and that, and, you know, having kids, and how Chris is a terrible father, and doing monstrous things on raising kids on gaming, even though I completely agree on the style that he's doing. I won't say that in public. But I think it really started popping and getting fun once we introduced the audience into this. Mm-hmm. Because then you have no fucking clue what is going to happen. You know, from your red shirt guy from BlizzCon to a seasoned veteran who asks questions at panels, you have no idea what's going to be coming out, right? And we get a line as soon as it opens up. And Paul did probably the best job possible, you know, working through that line, you know, handling grenades perfectly, but also allowing them the time to have their question answered and letting the panelists go long enough where it seems like it was answered perfectly.
Now I have to know, what was one of the grenades that was thrown?
Well, let's see. Well, we had the one gentleman who was dressed up as a Super Famicom.
Famicom, yeah.
I saw him around a couple of our panels.
That was the thing. To speak to this, you could tell he's not used to public speaking because he was a little bit soft spoken. He said he streams on Twitch and he goes, "Listen, I just load up and play my games. Like, I don't even really interact with my chat." And I'm like, "That's okay. If that's what you're comfortable doing, we get it. You know." But he asked a pretty like experienced question, like a pretty deep cut. He asked us about if any of us collected any of the Japanese exclusive consoles or games, you know, here, like if we went after them at all. And honestly, none of us really had. But I talked about how I actually did a call out to Metal Jesus Rocks on YouTube. I said, you know, this is a content creator on YouTube that I love that covers a ton of retro stuff. And he went to Japan very recently and he dives into some of the cool aspects of what you can find in Japan. For example, that there's like dozens of different colored consoles of each generation available in Japan that never get released anyplace else. But he was a little soft-spoken. He's a little, going on a little bit, but I think some people might have just like kind of tried to brush past that guy and move on to somebody else or something because it was a little out there or whatever and they didn't have much to say. But we tried to engage on it, and I think as a panel we engaged on it and still tried to interact with him a bit. And then I saw him at like three more panels after the fact.
That's dope.
So yeah. I think he went into the app and hit some of our names, those of us who were pro and in the app, and you could just click on us, and showed up for other panels and not necessarily gaming related ones. So that was really cool.
There were so many curveballs thrown at me in this thing because these guys were getting, like, I went there to talk about kids, like having kids and
yeah, the fatherhood aspect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not, I didn't go in there to talk about Nintendo soundtracks at all.
Yeah.
Thrown at me. And I'm like, what's a song that I like to listen to while I play Nintendo? I'm like, the training one from Punch Out.
but that's the thing, like, Chris, I also wasn't expecting that, but I know that's not your area of expertise, and here I am that listens to a multiple Nintendo music podcast that I have the ability to pull composers out when I need to. So That was a question I love. Somebody was like, do you remember Nintendo Power?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is like, oh God, yeah, no. I mean, that's not even a question. That's just like, you just handed me member berries, and I've taken a whole handful of them.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun, and we had a good retention on, you know, for a Saturday afternoon. I was very happy with it.
Yeah, I think Bill was the only one that left the room early.
Yeah, Bill left.
I got up off the panel and left the room early.
He was done. He was like, yeah. I thought you were like, more professional than this.
I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, what was cool about the fan questions is that it was mostly just people doing what the panel was really about, and that was diving into nostalgia a little bit and asking like what we thought on stuff and bringing up kind of some really interesting stuff. And it sparked good conversation. I felt really comfortable with that panel, and I walked out of it being like, I think we nailed that. I think we gave everybody in that audience a good time, a little trip down memory lane, and I think everybody really dug that. And I'm really, really happy with that panel. And I think the track was too, because the track director kind of talked to us a little bit later and said that he had heard good things, that is, I think his second or one of his support people that's a regular for him was in there. You know, so whoever was in charge of that room had said good things. So,
and I just want to say thank you to Kevin and his team for allowing us time to come out and do a Nintendo panel. Mm-hmm. You know, there's hundreds of panels that are pitched. I know for the digital media track, panels are pitched a lot, and a lot of them don't make the cut. So to get the opportunity to do this, I just want to reach out again and say thanks. His second in command was the gentleman who was dressed as Link, a little bit to the right. And I don't remember his name, but he was
Joseph or Josh. He told me his second at one point, and I was in the middle of chaos. But yeah,
I can't, because it was such a chaotic brain, yeah. and you know, I had botched in a couple hours as well, so I was like, ugh, stressed the fuck out. But he was wonderful, and he was like, anything you guys need, I'm here for it. And I said, well, you're already dressed as Link, so I know that you are the hero that I need. You know, you are the hero in this time right now. But I just couldn't be more thankful for the opportunity to go over to the gaming track, and hopefully it's the start of a beautiful relationship.
Yeah, I will say that was a good lesson learned, because the way Phil gets prior to doing a panel, like, it's okay to let him wander around to get the lay of the land to see where the room is. But if there's a chance that the room's big, like, don't let him open the door. Because so we walk in and we see the door, and it's not that deep, right, where you go in the door until you turn to the left, and it's like double the depth that you first walk in. It's triple the length. There's TV sets set up like throughout, so that the people in the back can still see the panelists up at the front. And he's just like, oh my God, that's a big room. And then he
fucked him up.
He starts doing this, and just like, all right, well, this is gonna be fun. I like it.
It's a quiet lunch we had before that panel.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to when all we do is play big rooms.
Yeah,
you know.
And I hope
I don't know if Philip will survive that.
I will, because I mean, like I said, like, yeah, it was a big room, but as soon as we got off on the gun, you know, it's just the three people that I enjoy a lot talking to, and myself talking about something that I'm very passionate about. Uh-huh. And that's how it always is, right?
Yeah.
Before botched, I can't even pee. I'm so nervous. Like, I have to sit to pee because that's how nervous I am. But as soon as we hit the stage, everything's fine. And that's just a certain anxiety that I have to deal with by, in immersion therapy. You know, it's like getting on that highway. You just got to get on the highway. Oh, God. That was just for us.
I miss all the things.
To that effect, doing panels with people that you know and you know are reliable is such a treat. I did a couple of panels with Rob Roberts, who I look forward to seeing every year at Dragon Con. Like, we really hit it off my first year 3 years ago. We've been on a few panels each year since, and he is just such a joy to do a panel with, because he's somebody I know that can, if we're lulling a little bit, he'll find a thread to just start talking about and get people, you know, re-engaged. Or when he moderated one of the panels I was on, I moderated one and he moderated another one, and he was fantastic. It was excellent, and it's always a treat. And there's other folks too, but he's one that stands out in particular because he's not afraid to get out there and say what he has to say, but he also finds a way to engage people and make them feel heard as well. And it's so creatively invigorating to do that. You know, the Nintendo panel, like that felt like an episode of BTP, like, you know, like one of those episodes when Charles has to teach classes at work. So, so we bring Bill in as a scab, and it just felt really natural. And that's when you have good people who are ready to engage with the other panelists and to engage with the audience. It is really, really enjoyable to do a panel. And sometimes people aren't super ready to do that, and that can be amusing too, just in an entirely different way.
Oh, do tell. Share the story. You can change the names to protect the innocent.
There might have been a panel that, okay, so one of the panels I moderated, for whatever reason, when Charles and his team shipped the information to the people who make the program book and the app, they did not tag who the moderator was. And it usually always is tagged. So for this one in particular, there were some heavy hitters on this panel. Bobby Blackwolf was one of them and a few others. And so there were at least three of us who have moderated before. Mike Faber was on that one as well. And myself, and all three of us had moderated before. So I knew that no matter what, we'd get somebody to just assume the role and we'd be fine. So I went to Galleria 7 and hit up Joe, who was working the panel in that room. And I said, hey, who's moderating this panel over here? Cause it's not in the app. And it wasn't one I pitched, so I didn't expect to moderate it necessarily. And he said, oh, hold on. And he pulled out the program book and he looked through any, like, your guy's internal document. Oh no, he pulled up the document on his phone. That's right. And he looked at it and he said, oh, okay, it's you. And I'm like, all right, cool. And this is 5 minutes before. So I go back over and I'm like, all right, so it's me and you guys can just sit down and I'll stand up with the shout box. Or I'm sorry, what is it called?
Catch box.
Catch box. Yeah. So I'm standing there with a catch box and I moderated from that. So I stood in front of the tables and I actually realized I stood off camera the entire time. So if anybody watches that
stream, that happens. Yeah.
It's my disembodied voice, which I'm fine with. There is somebody on that panel who maybe wasn't expecting so many of us to talk about a certain streaming service that is kind of like not their thing, and they're not really gung-ho about it. But all of the rest of us, I mean, Mike Faber was talking about how they have like at least three shows that they've migrated to Twitch recently. Bobby Blackwolf recently took his show to Twitch. I talked about how us on, you know, with the Giant Size Team Up Network, some of us started our own stream. Some of us brought shows to Twitch, and we've talked about doing more. And so you had at least three podcasters have been doing it for some amount of time who were talking about integrating Twitch into how they either created their content or distributed their content and reached out to their audiences. And this was
Video Didn't Kill the Radio Star.
Yeah. It was The Art of Live. That's right. It was The Art of Live. So yeah, we're just talking about all this stuff. And
okay, well, The Art of Live absolutely is either in front of an audience physically or streaming. That's what that whole panel is. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it was one of those two. I'm sorry, I did seven panels, so they all kind of blurred together on me. But I'm not going to use his name. But there's a certain person who was representing a major company in podcasting who had like started out pretty much okay, and by the middle of the panel had a grimace on their face, and by the end of it, they did not like what they had to hear, and basically, Twitch is kind of antithetical to what their professional focus is. And I don't see it that way. I actually disagree. I think it's more of a complimentary service than they realize. But they weren't for it. And so after the fact, they went and posted in the the Facebook group for their app, and they're like, there's this dangerous philosophy floating around Dragon Con that Twitch is somehow
blah, hold blah, on blah. Can yeah. you do it in J. Jonah Jameson's voice real quick?
Twitch is a menace.
Yeah. Twitch is a menace. Podcasting is absolutely the hottest form of media on the planet right now. And yeah, so that was a little awkward because that'll happen. You know, you'll get somebody sometimes who like, oh, are you in the wrong place, friend? And yeah, it is what it is. You try to make your best of it. No, it wasn't The Art of Live. It was the other one. Okay. That's right. The Art of Live had see, that was the other issue, is The Art of Live had some of the same folks on it. So like Mike Faber was on that one, and so was Bobby. Yeah. Oh, no, that was the one. He is, yep. The person in question is on that one. So it was The Art of Live. I'm sorry.
Let's just give him a generic name. Let's just call him Tom. We'll just call him Tom.
Tom?
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Tom.
Dixon.
Tom from MySpace. So like that was kind of a curveball that I didn't really expect, but that kind of speaks to there's a sea change in not just in the track at Dragon Con. I mean, since Charles has become the director of the track, he's made an effort to transition it from being the quote unquote podcasting track to being the digital media track. And that's because what all of us do isn't confined strictly to traditional podcast distribution anymore. Right. Many of us are utilizing Twitch or YouTube or multiple platforms to reach our audiences. Bill from Run Jump Stomp is I think one of the best examples I've seen recently of someone who utilizes all the platforms to their utmost. He records his show live on Twitch, edits it in front of his audience while they're hanging out and chat with him.
I love that.
Yeah, and then he usually plays a game for a little bit afterwards if he has time. So he does his show, he edits it, he pushes it to traditional distribution methods, and he still interacts with his chat, hangs out and plays with them and everything. And he does a fantastic job. The Nintendo Switchcraft is one of my favorite shows now. It's actually something I enjoy listening to. And I don't listen to a ton of podcasts anymore. It's one of those things, once you see how the sausage is made, some people really like to eat more sausage and some people don't want to at all. I tend to gravitate towards not eating more sausage. This is somebody who's utilizing platforms. Bill exposed us to a new platform we're going to start using ourselves, which is Anchor. You know, which has allowed him to monetize his traditional distribution of a podcast and start earning money, you know, in the same way that Twitch is a platform that has allowed people who do video content or streaming to interact with their audience and also monetize in a much easier fashion than, say, YouTube or any other outlet. There's a sea change. And there's some folks who are firmly entrenched in an older mindset, a mindset of like where this emerging trend was 10, 15 years ago. And they kind of structured their lives around building companies that do exactly what was needed 10, 15 years ago. And they're not super comfortable with what's happening now. And this track has changed. It is no longer just about the podcaster. I sat on panels with folks who make cosplay costumes on stream. They don't do a lick of gaming.
Yeah.
She literally just makes costumes. And she was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is somebody who she sews and makes costumes on Twitch, and she was fantastic. She answered a ton of questions. She had a ton of insights. She had a lot of back-end information, like the actual mechanics of what we do when you stream on Twitch, that was super useful for the audience. And it was fantastic. Another person who did narrative content on Twitch, like they gamed, but they had a narrative thread to it that, you know, and then also got to speak to her experiences about how when they reached the end of that narrative thread, they had a huge drop off in their audience and how they were trying to, you know, like, so people who had valuable insight that was applicable to more than just podcasting. But nobody, not a single time on any of the panels I was on that were biz related, ever once suggested, if you were a podcaster, moving away from traditional distribution.
Yeah, and it's weird too, because the individual, as you and I spoke later, I found it odd because 10, 15 years ago, this guy's a pioneer. Like, he understands the change and the move away from talk radio and radio and, terrestrial radio, understands that shift is coming and is ahead of it. And then to get so comfortable where you are that you don't see the next wave coming, that's weird.
It's a menace.
I kind of see it like, you know, if you were the wagon maker when the Model T shows up, you're like, there's no way, right? There's no way that's going to be a thing. And then if you're the automotive super giant company, when the electric hybrid comes along, you're like, there's no way. There's no way people want to charge their car.
Well, yeah, but those guys actively did what they could do to torpedo it so that it wouldn't come around for quite a while. So they knew the change was coming. They just did what they could to stop it.
I didn't erroneously make the comparison.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, somebody went to their community for their company and said, Twitch is dumb. I'm paraphrasing, but like Twitch is dumb. And if you are using it, you need your literally said that people who thought streaming was viable needed their head examined. That was an interesting, unexpected thing that happened. And honestly, it was awesome.
So when you talk about that panel and just the diversity growth that we've seen in the digital media track is amazing. And it's really a nice microcosm of Dragon Con in general. Like if you want a good, small, safe place to just go experience Dragon Con, come down to the digital media track and see, because you see all of this. Dragon Con is not every time you're asked to define Dragon Con, the best that you can come to is say it's a fan convention. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, well, what does that mean? I'm like, well, what are you a fan of? Come see it at Dragon Con, because that's literally what it is. And that's what digital media is becoming. Like, you don't have to just be a gamer. You don't have to be a traditional podcaster. You don't have to be like it. It's all encompassing. So that digital media track, having that diverse of a crowd on your panel, just talking about, you know, the Twitch aspect of it. It's like, yeah, because it speaks to everyone, and everyone that's here has representation that's on this panel to some degree. And especially like at Dragon Con, and you've got a cosplayer on there, hell, that's gold. I'm surprised they weren't lined up out the door for freaking blocks trying to get in. You know?
Did y'all know that we actually got a RuPaul Drag Race contestant to be? We got Dax. I have to look it up now. Is Dax something? Yeah, I found her.
Dax Shepherd. No.
Rob Roberts had actually talked about that, and he was blown away by that. He was so excited.
I was so brokenhearted because I wanted to meet her. I watched her season on Drag Race, and I was so stupid busy, I didn't even get to say hi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
well, let's talk real quick about our panel, the Nerdywood Squares. Mm-hmm. Because not only we had a celebrity in the crowd as well some of you may not realize was there, but I must say I had a ball doing it. We had no idea what we were doing before we started, and it worked fucking perfectly.
So good,
but I don't know if you guys know this, but Colby Burnett is a Jeopardy champion. He is in the all-star category of Jeopardy. He was also on the show The King of the Geeks on season 2. And he was in our panel, and he came up and answered some of the questions. And I talked to him after, and I said, you're goddamn Colby, aren't you? He's like, yeah, I am. I said, you know, I'm such a big fan of you. And my wife, what the hell are you doing here? He's like, you know what? I'm such a fan of the game shows that we've been putting on in this digital media track that I try to hit as many as I could. I said, well, how'd you enjoy it? He's like, no, it was really good. It was really good. It was fun. You know, I didn't realize this is what we were going to get down here.
Nice.
And to me, the thing that triggers me the most is that in my house, Colby is such a big name, right? The week before Dragon Con, Colby was on Jeopardy, and the wife was out of the house, and I had to DVR goddamn Jeopardy so she could come home and see how Colby is doing. And then the next week, Colby is in the crowd for one of my panels. She's just like, whew, god damn, that's the fucking, and it's so good. It's such a moment.
Nobody but Philip knew it.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I know. And like, I'm talking to Paul because Paul's sitting right next to me, and I'm like, oh, Paul, I don't want to be racist, but that kind of looks like Colby from goddamn Jeopardy and the King of the Geeks. And he's like, yeah, I guess he kind of does. I was like, well, you're making my thing a little bit harder to go talk to him. But I'm going to do it because you always say yes at Dragon Con, and you never know what would happen if you said no. And I went out there after the show, and I was like, hey, man, you look really familiar. Is your name Colby? And he's like, yeah, it most certainly is, and I've been on television. And then me and him just talked for about 20 minutes.
Nice.
And it was goddamn wonderful.
So you lined him up for next year, right?
Yeah, I actually did.
No, you didn't. Joking, I see that stone face.
No, by passing him off to Tony P. Henderson to actually do the legwork on it. Because Tony was like, give me that picture and the name right now. Right goddamn now. And I said, Tony, I know that, yep, here you go. Work your Tony magic. And yeah, hopefully it's a thing next year.
To Tony's credit, he was not in his best headspace going into that panel. I've never seen Tony stumble so much, but to the crowd, I don't think it was as obvious because we work with him all the time. We know how he is, but he had a good time with it. So when he stumbled, he recovered. He made us laugh. He made the crowd laugh. I had so much fun on Nerdywood Squares. It was awesome.
So let's talk about why he stumbled. First off, I think he did 10. He moderated 10 major panels through the weekend. He was tired. It was a Sunday afternoon panel, so we're towards the end of the con.
Yep.
And we had just come out of Blurds Unite, which for people who aren't familiar, Blurds is a common term for black nerds. And it was pitched specifically, it's called Blurds Unite, and it was just this open discussion of how, you know, Dragon Con's going, how they can change things for themselves, their stories. We had a guy in there who was almost 60 years old. He said he'd grown up a black nerd all his life. And so not only did he go through your racism and oppression, nobody in his community even knew what a nerd was. And, you know, and it was really cool stories. And BET came in and shot the whole thing, unbeknownst to Tony. Well, unbeknownst to Tony for about 10 minutes until I realized that's BET, and I texted him, as I do, standing on the side of the room going, hey, this dude next to me with camera, it's BET. Bring your A game, motherfucker. So he did. I mean, he would have anyway. And it was a phenomenal panel, but he was coming off of that, how you can be a little exhausted when you have that great connection with the crowd, and your BET comes right up to him, sign the waivers. Let's have conversations about what we can do more. So he might actually have an avenue to do some more bigger things off of that. And then we go right into Nerdywood Square. So he was still kind of processing everything that happened. Tony was phenomenal, man. Tony was,
it always is.
Was great.
Always is, yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, me and Tony, we set a couple dates, you know, throughout the con this year heading up to it. And we didn't hit all of them, because you can only have fun as much as you can actually fit into your schedule. But I mean, that was a big thing for me this year, was to get more time with Tony. And every time that me and Tony were together was so goddamn fun. You know, if it was not just in a concert hall seeing the Cybertronic Spree, or just on the porch, the two of us just hanging out, shooting out ideas. Or, you know,
let him have all fun with the puppets.
Or that, you know, I couldn't, Chris, I couldn't. Like, Sunday night, I was exhausted. I was goddamn exhausted. I fell asleep in the recliner with my feet on the goddamn bookcase. That's how tired I was. But like Tony always said, you got to have fun where your schedule allows. And hanging out with Tony all week was goddamn a pleasure. And it's something I really look forward to. You know, coming back down next year with money and everything, hopefully allowing it. But he worked his fucking ass off. He really did. He really did, and deserved his drink at the end of every night.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you know, Charles, you mentioned that he did two panels back to back. I did that twice this weekend. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit grueling. I don't know that everybody kind of understands, like, you got to be on for an hour, and especially if you moderate, because you're the most important person that is not supposed to be the focus of the panel, right? It's your job to make sure everybody else gets to speak, everybody else gets their points out there, you know what I mean? Like, you're trying to control audience engagement with what you're doing, especially if you have interaction portions and everything. You've got to be on, and you got to be present, and it's not always easy. And so when you do that, even if you're just a panelist on the following panel, it drains you quickly. And to hear that he was doing so many, I totally get it, because it's not easy all the time.
I'm going to be more aware of how I schedule things next year, because I think I had them separate originally, but my whole philosophy of scheduling is I sacrifice myself first, and then I sacrifice my people, you know, the network guys, then it's strangers. And moving around some stuff last minute, somehow Saturday night I stacked the Business of Podcasting panel. Then there was another panel right behind that. Then there's a Business of Podcasting panel that had to go up to the Crystal Ballroom and did the Disability and Gaming and Streaming panel. Then I came right back down to Tony and I did the Con Game, which is an hour of goddamn being on and loud and energy. Then I had to run up the hill to the Hyatt to do an hour and a half panel with Mark Gunn, interviewing him. So by the time I made it to Botched, I was just like, I'm just here to see if they're having a good time. That's it. I'm dead.
Yeah, you just had to see the beginning and the end and didn't miss that middle part. And you
I didn't
have
see
a good
the
time.
Beginning. I barely caught the middle and some of the end, but yeah.
Oh, that's who was supposed to take Dennis's pictures, is that guy, just like he was supposed to bring. Yep.
Fuck that. I had not volunteered for jack shit at Dragon Con. I told you, I'm going to go back to a point that we had an hour ago, which is, hey, here's a placeholder, giant size team up panel. You guys build something. And you did. I mean, I walked in and it is kind of how we do. But we're pros. We're pros together. We're entertainers is a better word for it. We're all entertainers at heart. We pick people on the panel to be with us who are entertainers. And no lie, there was a whole lot of, we're not sure what the fuck's going to happen here at the Nerdywood Squares. And that's probably my most fun I've had. I mean, it rivals the Con Game. The Con Game is a fuck ton of fun for me because I get to be the asshole because Tony's the straight man. And, you know, but that Nerdywood Squares, it was just all of us shooting the shit, basically having fun together. Jenna Garrett, what a prize, right? She's amazing.
Oh, she is my phenomenal. Jenna. My goddamn Jenna. Me and Jenna had one plan. Well, no, that's true. We had two plans this year, and we failed on both of them. It is take a picture together and hang out outside of the fucking panel in cons. And we both, she was too busy, and I was too dumb to remind her that it never happened. So now we have plans for next year. But yeah. Goddamn shit, anything she touches, she puts 112% into, and I'm always happy to sit down and listen to what she has to say because she's so well spoken and funny and awesome about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Anything else y'all want to throw out before we hit the eject button?
Yes.
Yes.
Can we talk about cosplays that we saw throughout the week?
Yeah.
Who was everybody's favorite cosplay?
I have
I'll
one.
Start.
No,
oh,
I only
no, no,
have
no.
one.
Take it.
I only have one because I just get cosplay blind to it because I'm always running through it and I stopped short in my tracks because Paul had actually got me to go eat lunch on Saturday. I think it was maybe it was Sunday. And we're coming back, which is a lighter day anyway. And we're coming back, and just so happened, the Meeping Angel is one of my favorite matchups of all time, which is Beaker from. The Muppet Show. Beaker from the Muppet Show. Got it. Give me a second. My brain's still kind of screwed. Beaker from the Muppet Show as a weeping angel from the Doctor Who. But this time they also had Dr. Bunsen, who is full on David Tennant doctor with the Meeping Angel. And that's the one picture I got all weekend. I just stopped and got in line and got my picture. Got the one ribbon on my tag, the one con ribbon. It's just meep. Meep. That's it. And so that was my favorite. I thought it was phenomenal.
Explain the ribbons to me, because I don't understand the ribbons.
Okay, so people who go to that's a good question for people who don't go to cons. I learned it through Dragon Con, so it's just you learn by osmosis. It's a way to kind of – everybody gets the same badge for the most part. I mean, yours might say pro or director or volunteer, but it's the same fucking square badge with the same artwork and everything. So people who like to individualize things have started to come up with badge ribbons, and you'll see that at corporate cons now too. And it's just in this day and age of identification – there's some that says my pronouns are they, them, he, him, she, you know, she, her. So it makes it easier for people talking to you. A couple years ago when we launched Pokemon Go podcast, we took Team Valor, Team Instinct, Team Mystic badges and it had our branding on it. And people were putting those on. It's just a way to tag your badge and have fun with it. And there's just a million different ones out there that you find. So that particular one, they had made them just for people taking pictures with the Weeping Angel, and I put that on. I've got one from the past that had Valor on it, and I don't remember all the little ones I've gotten. I don't usually put a whole lot. I'm not a big badge guy. What, Chris?
Done. An idea that I've got earlier, it can build upon. So.
Okay.
Go ahead, sorry. Yep.
Yeah, that's it. It's just a way to – I mean, people put stuff about books on there, Doctor Who, just – whatever your fandom is, there's probably a badge floating around the con that you can get either for free or a buck. And, you know, it's just a little cool. And it's usually, they're pretty specific to the year because they just, you buy them, you use them up, and the next year you do something new and bring them to the con for people who bring them. So that's what that is.
Thank you.
On Thursday, I ran into a sound wave that stood a good 2 to 3 feet ahead of me.
I love that picture, yeah.
And in his chest was Guardians Awesome Mix Volume 1.
Nice.
And Chris, I believe it was you who was like, this is here. You need to catch this. And I was like, oh, God. I know it's night one, but I'm already dehydrated. Paul, where's my water? I need to get a picture of this dude. So that one really stood out with me. When I was dressed as a ZZoo intern, I just had a t-shirt and my red beanie. I ran into a Steve ZZoo, which was very awesome to do because I got to take a picture with him. I found a Gunzerker that was beautiful that I haven't posted yet, but I got to all these people I took pictures with. So I saw a Samus and a Zero Suit Samus, which was beautiful.
What'd Danny think?
Oh, yeah, no. All weekend, Danny is partying with his favorite people. I mean, even the ones that I won't ever post, like, there was that inflatable Pikachu. Mm-hmm. Like, I sent that back to him, and that was like, yo, my daddy's partying with Pikachu. What the heck? What the heck, Daddy? But I think it was the last night in the con. After Botched, I found a Harvey Birdman attorney at law that was really good. And I said, I'm not going to bother him. I'm tired. I got to go home. I'm not going to have another opportunity to do this. I'm going to say, hey, man, can I take a picture? And I'm in Blood Feud suit. So, like, I'm already in a suit. And I was like, hey, man, do you mind? He's like, of course not, civilian. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you for not breaking character. Let's take a picture together. This is great. So it was really my con to go out there and try to collect as many pictures as I could. And I couldn't get a good Spider-Man or the Captain America I wanted. I just couldn't get a hold of an Iron Man. But God damn, was the cosplay on point this year. Especially the giant builds from a Fifth Element just sitting in the Hilton all week.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, these people are insane. But I just wanted to hear your guys' favorite cosplay that you ran into. Oh, real quick, time out. I got one more. there was a Statler and Wardorf in the Hilton in the balcony.
Oh, really?
Making fun of people below. Just the entire time they were there. And I think they went hotel to hotel, just standing in the balcony, making fun of people. And it was just like, that's what Dragon Con's about.
You had that old Greg too, buddy.
Oh my god! Oh, my new patron! My new patron for Botched! During Blood Feud, we had the Mighty Boosh's old Greg come in here, and I was like, oh my god, you look dope! I need a picture with you. You got some Baileys? And he's like, no, but I got these watercolors, which is based off of his character, which I was not expecting, which then I shit my pants about. And then when he came out, he revealed another point of his character, which was his mangina, which was a glowing light in his crotch. And it's those little details, you know. It's easy to get a thing of Baileys, but it's not easy to draw some fucking watercolors of yourself. It was a good year for cosplay, especially for me.
That's awesome.
Chris. What about you, Chris?
The sound wave was good. Rambo Bright was pretty
Rambo
good.
Bright.
I haven't seen it. Did you take a picture?
Yeah. I didn't get the picture. Oh, I just wanted it through the cloud. I know there's pictures online of it. I saw some, but yeah, it's pretty dope. Ammo belt and everything, shooting a gun with rainbow bullets. It was pretty good. And then, I mean, like there was definitely great cosplay, as there always is at Dragon Con, but not all great plot cosplay gets up on stage and just sings you the most wonderful songs for 2 hours. You know, so Cybertronic's free. I got to give it up for that cosplay right there. So,
nice. Nice. And we missed apparently something that Frank saw online and tagged us in, that the Turtles were live and singing
at the parade
during the parade.
Hold on, talk about it, Chris. Yeah. Talk about it.
So it was the costumes, they were the Turtles from the Coming Out of Their Shell tour when they did the Rock Band thing. And
I had that album, and yeah.
So they had a flatbed truck that towed them through the parade, and they had their instruments and playing, and it was good. Like the video was amazing. The downside to this is this group that did it, they had whatever hotel they were staying at, I'm not sure which one, wherever they were parked in their van is where they had all of their equipment. It sounds like they probably had all their costumes and stuff in the room, but all of their equipment, to include their computers, the van got broken into, and they got so I saw that they were asking, the post that I saw wasn't asking, hey, if you have any information about this, let us know. It was just, hey, if you have pictures of us or video, please send it to us, because we need to get that stuff out there. But yeah, it sounds like all of their sound equipment, probably their instruments, and well, maybe not their instruments, but the sound equipment and their computers were just gone.
Damn, man. That sucks. What about you, Paul? What'd you see?
I didn't see a ton of cosplay. Like, I didn't pay attention to a lot of the cosplay. I get the cosplay blindness like you do, Charles. When I see something that's amazing, though, I notice it. One of the best things I saw was a couple of Predators together, and they just looked so dope. Like, they looked like basically the costumes from the 80s and 90s.
Okay, so this kind of Predator, not...
Yeah, no, no. it was a Weinstein next to...
No. I mean, I didn't just see Dennis and, you know, and Hugh. No.
Spacey. It was Weinstein and Spacey were next to each other.
No, I mean, these dope Predator costumes, and just, like, they looked awesome. They the jiggly tentacles and the fangs and everything. And I love that shit. It's my favorite. Like, I will never not, like, just absolutely love that stuff. And when people do, like, movie quality cosplay of it, I'm just, like, over the moon about it. You know what I mean? So that was a really cool part of it for me.
Yeah, I get you, man. It's so, I mean, if you're a people watcher, it's damn near worth the money. This is like your Disneyland, right? I mean, if you're for just people in general, if you're a people watcher, you know, I go to the mall just to sit. This is worth come one day. The most expensive day is like $55-$60. Come and just sit somewhere. You will never see the same people ever in the world again. I mean, just the costumes and the blending and the craziness that goes on, and it's awesome. It is really, really cool. Or except when it's stupid hot in the basement because they left the bay doors open. But that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Or when you get roasted along with Trader Vic's.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
That was probably one of the worst things that could have happened to me there. is realizing that that's there, and now there's that easy access to and
from alcohol.
Because I'm a big tiki drink guy, and man, do I! It's so good.
Well, so the problem with Trader Vic's though is the smell of like burnt meat the entire week. And on Sunday at 5:30, my last panel was in that was in Galleria 7, and so I'm exhausted. I only got 3 hours of sleep Saturday night into Sunday. I just couldn't sleep. I get anxious and stuff at random times, and I just toss and turn, and I end up just like not being able to sleep. So I had already done two panels back to back earlier in the day. Then we went to dinner, and then with lunch/dinner with Charles, Philip, and Bill, and then we went to this panel. And I'm moderating, and my eyes are like I'm sleepy. I want to go sleepies, you know. And I'm like trying to keep it together for the panel, and then the smoke is trickling into the room from Trader Vic's, and like my eyes are starting to burn, and I'm like, oh man, what the hell? And I look up over the room, and luckily, Charles was in the room for this. This is the only panel that Charles was sitting in the audience for that I did the whole week.
Yeah.
There's a haze in the top of Galleria 7. There's literally smoke in the room. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, how is this a thing? And to Andrew, not Andrew, from Adventure Inc. was like...
Hey, Aaron from Adventures Inc. I guarantee you is still not kissing the ring and listening to the show. So fuck him.
He goes, I can't believe you have that much smoke in the room and like a smoke alarm didn't go off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was terrible. So hopefully the con's able to address that with the Hilton in the future. Whether we're down there next year or not, that is it's. Quite frankly, it's kind of disgusting. There's a lot of people that was off-putting for. Like, it can upset your stomach. It gets in your eyes and stuff. But it's a goddamn fire hazard, too. Let's be real. Like, what are they doing over there? I was like, are they literally just burning witches alive over there or something? Because it's bad.
I think between the heating between 6 and 7, I think is just a simple damper issue that the maintenance needs to look at. And then again, it's probably just a ventilation issue. If they got damper problems over there, the smoker exhaust is not venting out properly, and it's building up in the wall and just coming in.
Yep.
They should have a hood scoop. if they have a smoker down there, there has to be a hood scoop to pick all that up.
I just don't think it's operating right.
Which is illegal. Well, it's illegal not to have your hood scoop. As somebody who, it's illegal.
Well, maybe somebody's not a forward-facing member of Dragon Con could call the Georgia Department of Health and report them on, like, say, Thursday.
Like, maybe somebody that has something to do with Georgia EMT services?
I can't do it. I'm a forward-facing member of Dragon Con. I can tell you the con is working on it. They're working on it as best they can. But I was able to take photos, and I was able to tag it. This is not an Instagram filter. Oh. And, yeah, so that helps.
Yeah, it was at one point I wanted to get down on the ground just to better enjoy the show more safely. Yeah.
But I mean, also we had that lady come in at the end on the closing panel saying, "Yeah, I wanted to enjoy this panel and I couldn't. I had to leave."
She had to leave. Yep.
Yep.
Dude, I had to leave. Like I was like, and Charles noticed it when I wasn't speaking. I was like blinking my eyes and pulling my shirt up to wipe my eyes. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And to what you were saying, Charles, like if somebody had said something on Thursday, this was definitely something that got worse over the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. It got increasingly worse. Like Saturday, the smell started to become really oppressive. And like that whole back corner was just awful. Like I remember going back to my room on Saturday and just like still smelling the burnt stench.
Oh,
on
yeah.
My clothing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like that's, you know, and friend of the show, Ellie Collins, she commented, she's like, you know, somebody who comes from a family where one of us is Jewish and mm-hmm. another one of us is vegetarian, having burnt pork flesh smell all over the basement of the hotel for all of those tracks is really off-putting. And I was like, you know, I totally get that. You know, my partner is vegan. She doesn't want to smell burnt flesh the entire time.
That's I asked you. Oh, sorry. You know,
no, I, but, I, okay. Here, go Yeah.
What? No, I asked Anthony. I was like, hey, man, I'm not, because Anthony's vegan as well.
Right.
And I was like, hey, man, not to make fun of you or anything, but so is this like having kryptonite in the air for Superman? Is it your superpowers?
Yeah. It's just, I am an omnivore. You know, I eat meat. And I thought it was gross. Like after a while, like after a half an hour of smelling it constantly, I was like, this is awful. And this is a really specific problem that only really affected like two or three rooms. Actually, that's not true, though, because when we were doing the wrap up for the track, Andrew, whose hotel is in the hotel room is in the Hilton, he said he was up on like the 14th floor or something like that. And he's like, I went up into my hotel room and there was smoke in my hotel room. Not a lot.
Yeah.
There was noticeable smoke from Trader Vic's all the way up, you know, more than a dozen floors. That's your whole hotel is inundated with this at that point. Yeah. And there's got to be a point where, because I understand the hotel's mentality is like, hey, this is a restaurant operating in our hotel. It's making us money, blah, blah, blah. But there's a point where it's like, well, it's causing all this smoke damage. It's bothering all of these people. There's got to be a point where you just shut that shit down.
Oh, yeah. My backpack still smells like smoke. I was only there for 6 days. Can you imagine what their furniture smells like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to be – that's that basement. When they finally get it figured, there's got to be a mechanical failure in there somewhere that they're going to be looking into this week. But once they do, like that whole basement is going to get a refurb probably. The ceiling
and
tiles.
And they just redid it 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Just redid it.
Well, the tiles in 7 around the air vents were
brown.
Yeah, browned. Like it was, it's a serious issue.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that hotel is facing for cost on that, too. Like that's going to be, it's definitely not going to be offset by how many, orders of smoked meat they sold over.
I mean, they can't move that like out onto the balcony. There's all that open space out there on the balcony. You know, where they do their picture. Or the dance parties out there. Like, you can't just move that somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, last year was the first time they even opened those doors, and it started then. So, I don't know. Anything else about the con that you love before we jump out of here?
Steam Power Giraffe.
Yeah, you guys all got to go to a concert. That sounds
It was good. Steam Power Giraffe, I found out that they were a band about a week before the con happened. And I checked their touring schedule, and their next live show was Dragon Con. So that kind of fit up perfectly into my life. And I had a wonderful time with everybody. Swan, Maria, Austin, Tony P, Bill.
Sleeping in a closet. I wanted to go, but they said no.
Yeah, you were something else. But we had a lot.
Did you pull a Tristan this year? Were you naked in the closet sleeping it off?
No, it was different.
No, if he slept in the closet, Tristan took that picture, and last year he wouldn't have complained because it was basically an extra room.
But it was a lot of fun, and I'm just happy that like I stumbled onto this band accidentally a week before Dragon Con happened. And just hanging out with the patrons and going to the Spree concert, you know. To see Spree live and then be able to go into Toy Power and post pictures of these goddamn, Transformers playing live music into the Toy Power Discord was enough. Yeah. Like, all of them were like, God damn it. I said, well, maybe next year, boys. Hopefully we can hit you up next year with this. Cybertronic Spree 2020 with the Toy Power Boys would be incredible. Let me know.
Maybe we all should start throwing our change in buckets and see what we can raise to help them get their asses over here. Because
they could just not buy one toy.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, that's about fair. Really slow back their third quarter spending and probably.
Here's the thing, though. Realistically, they could just not buy toys for an entire quarter, fly over, go to the con, go shopping after the con, fill an extra suitcase of checked luggage. Of all the toys that they would have bought anyways at our real prices, and then fly back and save money.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be – I'm only half joking.
You know, they're going to send an empty the big speaker equipment boxes that bands use. They're going to bring that under the plane with them empty, and it's going back.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, and if you buy extra – oh, wait. No, Chris is going to get triggered because then they'd be scalping.
I know.
I'd like to point out, I'm the only one who actually tried to help Toy Power. Everybody else told you to fuck off. Just saying. So, Yo, if they just stop spending money, it's like, hey, let's fly them out here. Let's, you know, do what we can as a company. No. No, we can't do that. Okay. So,
do you know how much a single person's flight from Australia costs, Charles?
Probably close to a grand.
It's at least three Optimus Prime. But it's in the right exchange rate here.
I'd say one of my most favorite moment was discovering that BET came into that panel, and they were only going to be there for a few minutes, stayed the whole time. That was pretty awesome. But the other cool moment was, for me, beyond Nerdywood Squares, I really enjoy playing with these guys, and it's so much fun. But I was sat on the Pitch to Pros panel, which is another one of my babies, and everybody's going down the line talking about, I've been podcasting, been doing this. And I know my dates. And Todd Cochran goes, I've been podcasting since October 2004. I went, no, I think you're mistaken, sir, because I've been podcasting since August of 2004. He's like, now you need to check your dates. And then Rob Green was like, no, I started podcasting in like July of 2004. Like, no, this shit was invented in April, man. I think you started earlier than you think you did. I was like, yeah, I'm one of the founders of Giant Size Team Up Network, and we just come off a Botch show the night before, so I'm like, I'm proud that we have Botch podcast on our network. It's one of our best shows that we have. And then two people into pitching their show, the guy stood up, had a Botch t-shirt on to pitch his show. Like, well dressed, sir. Well dressed. And that was I love seeing that in the wild. It was not a face
so
I recognized.
Philip, what was your show you pitched?
It was Botch Podcast.
We all said it's a horrible idea. Don't fucking do that shit.
Hold on. You're like, no.
It's Adventure Incorporated.
Oh, a D&D show with adventure in the name?
Yeah.
Oh, that's shit. Like, I like literally went up to him was like, you're all like, how'd our show go? I'm like, you need to fucking change your name. Because I can't, we got adventures everywhere. And they didn't know I'll take that. And I was like, I'm just fucking with you. But not really, but I'm kind of fucking with you.
Oh, that was one of my favorite interactions at the kickoff to the whole track. Travis McElroy and Anthony are on the same panel. And Anthony's like, oh, yeah, my show, D&D show, Adventure Incorporated. And McElroy is like, wait a minute. Because his show's Adventure Zone. Yeah. And Anthony, without missing a beat, goes, you don't own every D&D show named Adventure Something.
Yeah. So.
Yet. I didn't say yet.
Yeah. All right, Paul, where can they find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitch and Twitter at SoapboxGSTU, and of course every Sunday over at GSTU Media for the four Bromigos of the Streampocalypse. But here's the thing. I've been saying you can find me on Twitch and Twitter for a long time, and I'm not super active on either one of them until now. With the lead up to DragonCon and some other stuff going on, I just wasn't streaming as often as I wanted to be. And I don't know if I'll ever be active on Twitter, but I might give Nicole the reins to that and let her run wild with it. But I am committed to streaming more often. I'm going to start trying to stream on my own channel at least three times a week. Right now I'm looking at Tuesday evening since all of Botched are busy circle jerking each other off as they record their show. And, you know, so I can't bump into any of them on accident. Thursdays are right out because both of Charles's shows are on Thursday. Friday evening might be another time slot. And of course Nicole and I are going to keep doing our Monday morning time slot. So come check out the channel. Let me know what you think. If you think it sucks, tell me that too, because I need your feedback to improve. But I'm looking to make big changes over there and start playing a lot more games and doing some other stuff. Actually, today, the new Nintendo Direct came out, and I live streamed it. I was a little low energy because, you know, first day back from the con, but we talked to – Kurt was in chat. We talked a little bit about some of the stuff that's coming up, and it was exciting. So, yeah.
Well, Kurt really said – send help, and you just played off of that into some game they announced. So, because
pretty much
dying,
yeah.
Chris, where can they find you, man?
Find me over on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just look up Chris Wisdom. You can look up in all things Wisdom, but Chris Wisdom's probably the easiest. You can find me every Thursday night here with these. it's not Thursday; it's Wednesday. Anyway, you can find me here with these guys. Better than I normally do. Leave me alone.
It is. No, it's great. Did you call yourself out? Phil, where can they find you?
Imaginary Nomad on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram with a one. I don't know what I'm going to be streaming. It's been 2 weeks since I've streamed. We were playing Spider-Man, but I feel like I want to go back to Nintendo. So I'm not sure. So catch me over there every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. And then Forrest Strobrogos of the Scrouch Kappa is every Sunday night on the GSTU media page on Twitter. Twitch. Yep, Twitch. I'm not Concrud now. Yeah, I got to go.
Rock Got a Podcasting across all social media. Discord, you can go to I'm on a bunch of different Discords, but if you want to get a taste of Dragon Con or be a part of it next year, it's DC Digital Media on Facebook. You can go check us out. And the Discord is pinned to the very first post, and it'll stay pretty much permanently pinned. I might have to refresh the pin so it won't be like, that's a year old. It's the same link. It'll work. But you can be part of that community and contact me directly. And Tony and I are not really sure what we're going to do on Sundays. We've been doing some con planning and talking and that kind of thing. But our schedules on Sunday afternoons are really off. So, but Monday nights with Philip, we go into the Borderlands. And starting Monday, September 16th. I'm so excited. Now Dracula's over.
Hey. I bought my copy. I bought my copy today. I bought my copy. I spent the $100 and I bought my fucking copy.
That's awesome, man. So September 16th, starting at 9:30 a.m. ish on Eastern time, we're going to be streaming all day marathon with your breaks as you do. But we're going to be going from basically 9:30 a.m. to roughly midnight with about two or three hour break for dinner. And so come check out Borderlands 3. It's going to be like no other experience. Sure, other people are going to play it before us. Sure, Shayna's going to have beat the game and want to come stomp her asses, but we're not letting her. But we'll have some friends of the network on to run their mouths and hang out, and we're going to make a day of it. So come check us out on twitch.tv/GSTUmedia. And with that, Chris, I'm going to make you in the show. So tell everybody, fuck off or something.
To all my fellow apostles, may your 2020 be filled with dreams delivered quickly and safely. Under his googly eyes, please sign here.
Praise him!